This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
Some guy walks up to me in the middle of Munich. He says to me,
"This is the Rich Eisen Show."
"Aren't you Susie Schuster's husband?"
"No."
With guest host Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I don't want to be controversial, but almost the worst thing that could happen for the 49ers right now is Brock Purdy takes them to a Super Bowl.
Throws down the sideline, wide open, George Kittle, touchdown.
Today's guests, Rams head coach Sean McVay, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Well, he's not Mr. Irrelevant anymore, is he? Brock Purdy. Wow. Hello, everybody. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. He is in Cleveland getting ready for the big game tomorrow on NFL Network. Again, I'm Susie Schuster, Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, my old friend TJ Jefferson and crew. Good to see you guys here on the Roku channel. What happy up, to be with you. I went to go look for something purple today, but it was in Xander's closet because he stole it, so I couldn't wake him up and get it. So here I am with you, excited to talk to you about that game last night because, wow, can I say just one purdy, just one, like the ribs and obliques look pretty good last night. I've been waiting all week and Rich is like, the joke is over, don't go there. And I said, why? It's Friday. It's like, I got to go with the pretty good.
I would say that joke is going to live on forever as long as Brock Purdy keeps throwing dimes to George Kittle and
wide open George Kittle,
and the Niners keep winning division games. And
the double pump fake, I mean, there he goes. And George Kittle, by the way, is basically reading the paper, right? He's by himself.
He was wide open and every time he caught a ball.
TJ Jefferson, that is when you knew how comfortable Kyle Shanahan really is with this kid. Yep. First quarter in Seattle, a vertical stadium up and down.
Loud.
Where it is loud. The 12s are loud. And guess what he does? Whatever he wants. That was bananas. And watching him last night, how old is he, Chris? 22 years old?
Yeah.
Is he 22?
He might be 12.
He looks like he's playing Pop Warner with that face, right? I mean, I'm a mom. I can say that. But boy, did he look. I mean, everyone's like, oh, he looked poised. Everyone's throwing out the cliches today. He looked poised.
Right.
He did, though. Mr. Irrelevant is no longer, and he could be, let's just go down the road, he could be the first rookie to start a Super Bowl. What if he wins it? And then what happens? Okay, now we just keep going down the wormhole, right?
Oh, it's great.
The Jimmy G wormhole. I'm kind of upset because is he going to get shopped around? He's expensive. Who's the starting quarterback? A lot of questions today. Good thing I'm married to Rich Eisen because he is calling in at 9:20 and he can answer a lot of these questions for us.
Rich said it already, and I don't think it's really too crazy to think about, TJ. If Brock Purdy wins out and the 49ers win the Super Bowl, that's what, like 8-9 straight wins for him? He's going to be the starting quarterback next year, and Trey Lance is going to be his backup.
Yep.
I don't think that's really too crazy to extrapolate out and really look down the line and say that for 2023. What this kid's doing now is so impressive, and we have to throw him his flowers, and it's been just two games, as we pointed out, but still, it's really impressive, the poise, the trust factor, his teammates love him, which I think is the most important thing. He gets the ball out on time, he puts it where it's supposed to be, and look, when you have Christian McCaffrey back there, TJ, it's going to make everyone's job look easier.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, it was... As a Cowboys fan who's not a big Niners fan, I was getting very annoyed last night watching this game and seeing every Niners wide receiver, like you said, Susie, reading the paper, chilling out, standing on the corner alone like, hello. Didn't it seem like every time he threw a pass, there was no one around the receivers?
No one around.
And then you got this Nick Bosa guy, man, dude, who just, my goodness. I mean, I don't know what they test for in the NFL, but my man is so chill and so laid back. You kind of wonder what mindset he puts himself in. But that dude is a monster.
The way he comes off the line, He is vertical. I mean, he is flat to the ground.
He's low.
He comes off like a sprinter off the line. It is spectacular to watch. And TJ, that you brought up the Cowboys plays into how we weave this show together. Because Micah Parsons, of course, is getting so much flack from his Voncast episode talking about, you know, calling Jalen Hurts a system quarterback. But what he was trying to say, and I don't think he was really out of line, was he's a defensive guy. Let's now give the 49ers defense crazy props, because all we're talking about today is Brock Purdy, but man, they stifled Seattle. Yeah, and there was that one moment, Chris, we were talking about it today. DK Metcalf made some kind of bananas catch that was obviously called back. But aside from that, it was kind of quiet in Seattle on the offensive side. And even Geno Smith just looked like he was shaking his head a couple times, couldn't get anything going, because that defense in San Francisco is bananas.
Yeah,
they're always in his kitchen. Nick Bosa making a strong case for defensive player of the year.
He's got to be the front runner right now, Chris.
The crazy BS roughing the passer call that negated a pick six. You know, we can talk about that some more if you want. It's just absolutely atrocious. But Nick Bosa is just proving why he was a top pick coming out of the draft, proving why he might win defensive player of the year this year. And it just goes to show, when you have a defense like this, best defense in the NFL, I think that's safe to say right now. You don't need your quarterback to go out there and win you games. You just need him to not lose it. And Brock Purdy, playing the way that he is, he's not going to lose you a lot of football games when your defense essentially gives up 6 points. I know Seattle scored a late touchdown, but when you hold a team to less than 13 points, you're going to win a lot of football games when your quarterback doesn't make mistakes.
How many head coaching jobs are going to be open for D'Amico Ryans? The way he's playing right now, the way he's coaching right now.
I mean,
talk about standing there and just he's there. He's got his headset on. He's whispering sweet nothings to all of the defensive minded guys out there, and he is fantastic. I mean, you got to think that there's some people out there looking at him thinking, "Ooh, I'd like to see him in my colors."
Yeah, and I brought up Nick Bosa, but like, we've talked about this defense for weeks, and they have some beasts on there. You know, Fred Warner, of course, friend of the show, he's called in. Hufanga, he's a terror out there. I mean, man, I don't want to see this team in the playoffs. Would you?
No, absolutely not. You don't want to see this team in the playoffs. And, like, I was kind of reluctant to really say, yeah, this team can win it throughout the year, because it's just like, really? Like, they always find a way to kind of lose in the playoffs the last few years. You know, Jimmy G, his limitations, what have you. But, man, why can't they win the Super Bowl? Like, can they go into Philadelphia and win a game? Sure, of course.
I know the story now is Brock Purdy and what he's bringing to the table, but I don't know that they're any better with Brock than they were with Jimmy, because they were still rolling before.
Right.
It's kind of the same. So I think they're in the same position. You know, they got the shiny new toy and everyone's oohing and ahhing over it, but I think they're in the same position, because at least the thing about Jimmy G is he's been there. Everything with Brock Purdy is now, you know, an unknown. We don't know how he's going to act in a certain situation. But this team is good, and they're rolling, and
I think the one thing that Kirk Herbstreit pointed out on the broadcast last night, it was late in the game, and Brock Purdy had a scramble to pick up a first down that basically iced it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Jimmy G really makes that play.
No?
It was a tough scramble. He got out of pressure. He went to the line of scrimmage. He slid. He was smart enough, headsy enough, to put the ball in front when he slid. And so he got the first down by a half yard and iced the game. I mean, that's kind of an X factor that Purdy is kind of bringing to the table, that maybe Jimmy doesn't have that. I don't know. Jimmy's been there before. He's won. He's got some rings. He saw Tom Brady do it. He was a throw away from winning his own Super Bowl against Kansas City. So we're going to see. Obviously, it's a wait and see. We're going to see. He's going to have a chance. He's going to have a home playoff game. And somebody's going to have to come in there and beat them and beat the defense, which obviously it doesn't look like anybody can do.
I mean, Groundhog Day for Jimmy G. He's like, really? Again? You've got to be kidding me. I was just about to get crazy paid. And But he'll get crazy paid somewhere.
Yeah,
if it's
I still
not
think
there.
He's going to be a starting quarterback somewhere in this league. It's not going to be in San Francisco next year, most likely. So,
well, do we think? Are we already writing this off? Are we already writing the Purdy Chronicles? I mean, I'm just curious about how far we're going to go down this wormhole.
I think if Brock Purdy fails or kind of crashes or comes back down to earth, it's going to be like, okay, great. It really makes it easy for us in San Francisco to turn to Trey Lance. We did pay all this draft capital for him. He did kind of fluky get injured at the start of the year that kind of derailed any progress. Look, San Francisco might be in the Philly spot right now if Trey Lance had stayed healthy all year and developed like everybody thought. So, yes, they're not going to bring Jimmy G back next year, especially as well as Purdy played. It's obvious that he can be a starter, so it's great to have someone like that in your back pocket as the backup. Should he go on a magical run and win the Super Bowl? Yeah, he'll probably enter 2023 as a starter, like we said, but San Francisco's in great shape in the quarterback position.
And what about Trey Lance now? I mean, Rich is calling in at 9:20. It's his show. He's calling in. But what about Trey Lance now? I mean, what about the fact that we've got a quarterback controversy, which I love because it's fun and it's a Friday. Mm-hmm. But is there any chance that Trey Lance just found himself out of a really good job?
Yeah. Always a chance.
Yeah, always a chance. I mean, what are the chances that Brock Purdy goes 9-0 this year and wins a Super Bowl? Small. But could happen. And I think that's really the only way that he ends up being the 49ers starter next year. But it's going to be Trey Lance's team like it was heading into this year. And, you know, barring a miracle, a title run, it'll be his team going into next year. And Jimmy G will be where? I have no idea. Jimmy G will be somewhere else, either starting or a high-level backup.
So I think San Francisco's looking at least a – I mean, there's going to be competition next year, you'd have to think, between the two of them.
Sure.
So – good spot to be in, I guess.
Did Rich tell you when Jimmy G got hurt? I'm like, didn't hurt his face, did he?
Yeah.
He's okay, right?
He always comes in the next day when he told that story.
It's very funny. He comes in the next day and always looks at us and goes, guys, how am I supposed to react to this? You know, my wife says, ugh, it was at least it's not his face.
Look, you are an Emmy award-winning journalist, Susie.
Yeah, so I am.
You know, and you're asking a question that probably wasn't the first question asked because everyone's going to ask one question. You're like, well, let me go around and let me find another angle to the story. So that's where your mind went, I think. And I don't see
TJ,
anything wrong
I'm
with
just
that.
Out there representing the fans. I'm just asking the questions that they want to know the answers to. I am trying to find a unique angle.
I understand.
Like,
that's
like
how,
that's how I took it. How's Jimmy G's face? I think we all wanted to know. I think Chris wanted to know.
Well, Chris definitely wanted to
know. He did. 844-204 Rich, by the way, watch us on the Roku channel. Happy to be here with you guys. Twitter, Instagram, at Rich Eisen Show. Don't bother with me because I'm not very social. We all know that. Subscribe to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. But I love calls. I'm asking you, come on, it's holidays. Call in. Love to hear from you guys. I'd like to hear what's going on in your lives.
Favorite Christmas movies you
want? Favorite Christmas movies. Oh. That's what I wanted because I'll tell you what I tried to do and failed terribly.
Last minute gift ideas?
I wanted to come in here today with the Nakatomi Plaza Christmas sweaters and they're not coming till Monday and I'm pissed.
Oh, no.
I had
someone
ordered them.
Tweeted us, I think it was like Kyle Brandt has the Nakatomi Plaza advent calendar.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I ordered the sweaters and they got delayed. I have a feeling they are not made in this country. So I wanted to talk about Christmas movies, what have you, Christmas food, what have you. I'm open to conversation is what I'm trying to say. Do you get what I'm putting down? I like the calls. They're fun. So call on in and
please call.
TJ said the craziest thing moments ago.
I did?
He said, do you want to wait to the third hour to open the champagne?
Yeah,
like, what's your problem?
It's Friday. In the commercial break, we're going to go
this is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's an empty glass.
That's terrible.
I don't know what I was thinking. I apologize.
Almost as bad as the news for the Jets.
Oh, well, it depends on how you want to look at terrible. But.
Well, it's terrible. It's not terrible for Zach Wilson because this guy's got a shot. But I think when Rich heard the news, Adam Schefter breaking the news, of course, that Mike White out rib injury, correct? Rib injury.
Yeah, he took a beating last week.
Took a beating, yeah. Well, that's what happens when you're flat on your back. But whatever. Mike White cleared for practice, not for contact. Zach Wilson, boy, it's a tough week in New York.
Yeah, and this is great. It's going to be a great moment for Rich, too, to come on the air because he so ceremoniously a couple weeks ago, TJ, declared that he didn't care if Zach Wilson ever started again for the Jets. Man, Rich's takes where he makes big, bold claims are just not aging well.
Well, here's the deal, right? You kind of force him into making hot takes because you like hot takes and he doesn't.
Yeah.
So he's uncomfortable saying these things because it's not something he really wants to say. And then he says it.
That's an HB. That's his problem.
Man, but now he's got to care if Zach Wilson starts.
Oh, he's
got to
care
right?
Because the playoffs are still alive for the Jets. They have a championship level defense. It's the offense that have so many question marks. We thought Mike White came in and gave this team a big spark offensively, and now it's back to Zach Wilson, who, while they won games with him starting, it wasn't because of him. So we'll see what happens against a really hot Lions team coming in to New York. It's going to be a really fun, exciting, kind of a haywire, I don't know what's going to happen in this game type of game.
But so, also, it's not like a long-term injury. Zach's only probably going to get this one start.
And maybe. What if Zach Wilson has like 3 touchdowns at 300 yards?
Oh, hey, there we go.
Wow. Hell,
that was loud. There we go. I mean, so, he's
what,
not going
to. Zach balls out?
He's not going to get his job back.
Start.
He's not going to get his job back.
You don't think so?
I think it's probably. The damage was already done, right? And I feel like once Mike White would have been starting had he been able to clear protocol. So
I get it.
I think this is a one and done for Zach, and I don't think he should get too comfortable.
Well, you never know what can happen when the Jets hit the gridiron. But here's what head coach Robert Saleh had to say about this.
Sunday after the game, obviously it's well documented, he was taken to the hospital to get x-rays and all that stuff, and all that stuff cleared. He got on the plane, everything was checked out fine. Monday, Tuesday, same thing, get more evaluation. He was cleared for practice, which he has been doing. He feels fine, but our doctors, and rightfully so, would not clear him for contact. Mike White, who is an absolute warrior and has been doing everything he could this week to try to find another opinion to get him onto the football field, to find somebody who will clear him for contact, has exhausted every measure he possibly can because he wants to be out there for his teammates. That opinion will not change, and it's gotten to the point where we could drag this out to Sunday, guys. But this is one of those deals where we got to do what's best for the player and protect the player from the player. So he's been cleared for practice. He has not been cleared for contact. And so with that, this is going to be a great opportunity for Zach. When he was elevated to the number 2 quarterback, it was with the understanding that there's a strong possibility that he was going to play. And to prepare accordingly, he's gotten a vast majority of the first team reps. He'll get all the reps today. He'll get all the reps tomorrow. And so we feel very comfortable about Zach's preparation as the first string quarterback, and that he's gotten his normal workload as a starting quarterback would normally get.
Well, there you have it. I mean, we know it's going to happen now against the Lions, and I know that Rich somewhere is in the hotel room getting ready for the game, probably nervous, freaking out, slightly screaming inside, being the Jets fan that he is. But
ruining what he said about Mike White.
Ruining it, but that's okay.
About Zach Wilson, rather.
We can ask him when he calls in the next segment, but, you know, I have a feeling, though, that the inner Rich Eisen is pacing and screaming inside. Hey, you got a left-handed starter for the Yankees. So, I mean, so I feel like it's like a yin and a yang of New York sports life right now for
Rich. And Chris, what was Rich's response when I text him that the signing, and he was like, lefties should stay at home. Or
yeah, I just think it's cool that
he got real cocky.
This offseason, guys are taking so much money to avoid playing in the World Series. It's so nice.
Wow, that's cold. Yeah, that's a little cold. The Yankees have spent payroll is like $562 million.
They spent a lot of money to just lose in the divisional
round. Wow.
Awesome.
I know. It's tough.
Good for them.
Yeah, but
Del Tufo, you
Red
get
Sox
away with
Nation
that?
Isn't exactly like right now.
No, we're talking about the Celtics and the Beats. We're not thinking about the Red Sox whatsoever and how they've let us down and how I hate ownership.
I know.
He's ready to walk away.
Do you hate ownership?
I do hate ownership.
Chris is ready to walk away.
Your brother agrees with me, Suze.
Okay, but Scott's angry at all times at all things sports. So, that's pretty much
we got
like
the, Bruins,
the asshole
we got
kind
the
of
Celtics,
way of being.
Let's focus on
speaking
those.
Of calls,
Jason
like, what's Scott
Tatum.
Schuster doing today? I mean, I think Scotty should call in. Express his displeasure.
Text him. I haven't spoken to him yet today.
Well,
I usually
listening.
Speak to him by 7:30. No, he's not. He could care less. No, he's not. And by the way, if he is listening, I'll get a list of what I didn't do right.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Basically how every game on ABC went. You know, I think I have a great game. It's like, well, in the second quarter, your silent report was kind of garbage.
Oh,
I'm like,
boy.
Okay, thanks. But whatever. Hey, Scott, if you're out there, 844-204-RICH. By the way, let's not even give him the RES calling number, like the bat phone. We're going to give him the 844-204-RICH. Come on.
You don't want him to circumvent
that's
that
right.
system.
Because, you know, we have no system of hierarchy here, TJ Jefferson. We are a show for the people.
No doubt. The people's choice.
Yeah, so I'm just saying. All right, let's go right to break. We're going to go to Mercedes-Benz. When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You are unlocking potential, the potential to do your own thing, to be your own boss, to steer your own success, and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take it on any goal you set. To help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check out all of these big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, thousands of ways to customize, now available in all-wheel drive, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now is the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. I think I told you guys, there's a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van parked at the beach all the time.
Oh, yeah?
And some surfers have made it into the ultimate Shangri-La. It is gorgeous. They've got an espresso machine off the back.
Wow.
They have customized it.
In.
Surfboards on top. I'm sure there's tequila in there somewhere. Get yourself a Sprinter van. They are amazing. Rich Eisen calls in when we come back. He's sitting in Cleveland, Ohio, waiting to call into the show. Talk to you in a minute.
What's Right with Nick Wright is a rapidly growing podcast from the Fox Sports Podcast Network. You may know Nick Wright from co-hosting FS1's First Things First. This podcast gives Nick a chance to develop, deep dive, and defend his sharpest opinions. During the show, Nick faces off against a ticking clock, a team of producers, and even his own family to try and get his points across. New episodes drop Monday, Thursday, and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richpod. Head to netsuite.com/richpod for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richpod.
Rich Eisen joins us here on The Rich Eisen Show. It is his show, so I guess he's calling in for that reason. Susie Schuster in for him. Did you wear a Michigan sweatshirt when you walked into the building in Ohio last night? That was
no,
my question.
No. I did not. I'm trying to be respectful, and I'm trying to save it all up for Canton in August. You know, I'm just – it's still too soon for a lot of people around here. I think it's still too soon. And to be very honest with you, there's still a chance that we see them again in about 3 weeks. So I need to sort of take it one game at a time, hope for the best, and if we see each other again, then we'll deal with it at that point. But no, I did not.
All right, I'm surprised a little bit. I thought maybe you would have come in with the hammer, but then I know sometimes you like the golden hammer?
The velvet hammer.
Yeah.
The velvet hammer?
Right?
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
I know he was right up your style. So, Rich, let's talk about the game last night. Let's talk about Brock Purdy, the artist formerly known as Mr. Irrelevant. What did you think when you watched him last night?
I just saw a guy who, you know, you were texting me during the game, Suze. It looks like he's been there 7 years. I mean, it's really unbelievable. And yes, you could sit here and say it's a system and the defense is lights out. I mean, the game, in my opinion, turned last night 7-3. The Seahawks took a huge punch at the very beginning and were surviving a lot of body blows to make it a 7-3 game with them getting the ball back, and they could have gotten the ball back on the Niners' side of the field had Condre Diggs actually, you know, come up with that interception. He let it bounce off his hands, Seattle did get the ball back, and the Niners, Dre Greenlaw, knocked it out of Travis Homer's hand and placed it inside the Seahawks five. Instead of it being a four-point game or maybe even a one-point game going into halftime being 7-6, it was 14-3. And that was just too much sledding for Seattle to come back from because Purdy didn't turn it over. He also had complete awareness of when there was pressure on him. There was the only, I guess, he would have turned it over had Diggs squeezed the interception instead of it bouncing off his hands. But it really was remarkable to watch Purdy make the throws on third down, for him to pick up the first down and essentially salt the game away last night by having the decision. It was placed in his hands on third and one, needing the first down to wrap it up. They called a play where he would either flip it out to McCaffrey or run it himself, and he had to make the decision, and he did. You know, and it sounds simple, it looks simple, but it isn't when you're making your first career start in Seattle. Even one third down throw that would have, helped wrap it up had Ayuk grabbed it. It did look like he had a lot of grass in front of him or turf in front of him on third and short. Purdy hit him right in the hands on the move, and he was on the move, and Ayuk was on the move. He just dropped it. The guy's beyond impressive. He's not making the mistake, and he's just keeping everything on the tracks, and then bringing the train to the station when it's put on his shoulders or his legs or his arm or his brain or his heart. I really like what I'm seeing. And now the Niners have a shot at catching Minnesota. That's the, I guess, biggest drama that's left, because I don't think they're gonna catch Philadelphia. But can they be the two seed? And if they're the two seed, then it sure looks like Purdy is going to have two home playoff games. So that would mean the only time he goes on the road in a must have game from here on out is potentially Philadelphia. And that is the reality of it. And the kid can bring him there. I don't think there's anybody who can sit here and say he's going to suddenly deteriorate. That would be shocking to me.
Yeah, he started the game 11 for 11, didn't throw an incomplete pass until 10:49 to go in the second. And that double pump fake where he just looked around, George Kittle, yeah, as we said, was reading the newspaper down the middle. But it shows you just how comfortable they are with him, Kyle Shanahan is, that they're going to let him go out there and run a play like that with the 12s in a vertical building. It just shows that they just think this 22-year-old has a veteran's head on his shoulders.
They definitely, I mean, that play call is a perfect example of their comfort level with him, you know, and how, practiced they are on it. They might have been working on that for 2 weeks and then popped that thing out right there. And then they were in another play where the backup tight end was the one who released down the field, and Purdy found him. And again, these are great play calls, and they're well practiced and they're well executed. But at the very end, the kid has got to plant, make the throw, and make the layup. And he hasn't blown any of them yet. And like I said, now they've got that home playoff game for the first weekend of the playoffs. And if they continue to perform as well as they are, and Minnesota trips up in a way, then they could be the second seed. Where, my gosh, I mean, is it Dallas that goes to Philadelphia? Could it be, a back-to-back? Could it be a back-to-back home gate for Purdy against the Commanders, the Giants, the Lions? Could be the same Seahawks team before the Vikings stroll in there. I mean, I think those are definitely very winnable playoff games for a team that's playing as well as they are in every phase, and that includes the kid at QB.
Is it too soon to ask if there's a quarterback controversy in San Francisco, Rich? I know you love a controversy.
So. Well, you're right. Dan asked me that question earlier, DP, about the future of it. And it really does depend on how well he plays when the chips are down. Again, the year that they made the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, If you remember, that was they had a playoff game at home against Minnesota, and they essentially ran the ball every down. They had very little confidence, and much was made about that, about how Garoppolo handed the ball off the entirety of the second half, and that they basically had, you know, their hands on 10-2 on the wheel and a foot on the brake during a playoff game with their quarterback. And we'll see how they play it with Purdy, if they feel comfortable enough, if he is going to wing it around if they need to. And again, Debo will be back. We'll see how it does play out between now and the rest of the season. But if he goes on a deep playoff run with them, and the locker room falls in love with him, and they dig him, and they also see how he can perform when he's got a full season under his belt, practicing and training camp ones, reps with the ones and things like that, then maybe they do keep him there. And Trey Lance is the backup, and they go into battle like that. Because, again, and it's a similar situation that's playing out with the Jets. If the GM who drafted the quarterback highly and the coach who is attached at the hip of the highly drafted quarterback, if those guys are not on the hot seat because they missed on the quarterback who was drafted so highly, or the quarterback they drafted so highly has now been surpassed by somebody on the roster that was either, in the case of Purdy, drafted last, or the case of Mike White, undrafted and acquired elsewhere by the team. I know he was drafted by the Cowboys, but the Jets didn't draft him. If the owner's fine with it and the coach and the general manager have a winning team around them, then they'll make the move. I mean, there's no sacred cows. There really isn't in the NFL. So if Purdy goes on a run and they trust him and they can open the offense up and he might win a playoff game for them, then why can't he be the starter in 2022? I mean, it's a realistic possibility as we're sitting here one game in a week 15.
So you opened the door to talk about the Jets, so I can ask you, how are you doing, honey? How are you doing? How are you handling the news? I said to the guys that, like, he gained losing a daughter, getting a son, because you got a really good left-handed starter today. But I would have imagined that maybe the Jets news may have made you a little ill.
Well, no, I'm fine. I want to see what Mike White can do. You know, I want to see what he can do, and I want to see him out there in a consistent basis. But this is now the second time, he's gotten hurt, and I hope that's not an indication of anything. I think he's tough as nails. We saw it last week, but last year I wanted to see more out of him, and he got hurt in a Thursday night game that he came in like a house of fire into, and he couldn't complete it. And now it's happened again. This time around, though, it's none of his fault. He got basically sawed in half by the Buffalo Bills and Matt Milano. But here's the deal. Like, the coach said that they needed to hit the reset button with Zach Wilson. And Mike White came in and showed him how it's done. And so has, by the way, Brock Purdy. It's the same offense. It's the same concept. It's the same ideas. And if Purdy could do it in San Francisco and Mike White can do it in New York, then Zach Wilson should be able to do it there too. And if he did need this reset, and if he did absorb the right things and is bringing the right mindset and attitude and game to the field, then he should win this football game. And it's time to do that. And if Zach Wilson is going to be the future in New York, or have an opportunity to be the future in New York, which he says he still feels he is, because again, like I said, it's San Francisco showing there are no sacred cows at quarterback or anywhere in the NFL. If somebody else is going to take an opportunity and run with it. So this is it for Zach. This is it. If he wants to be the future, he now has another opportunity to do it. He's very lucky because Mike White has captured the locker room and the fan base and the fancy of all in New York who root for the Jets. So now Zach has gotten that opportunity back. And let's see what he'll do with it. Personally, I wish it was on the road because, teams bond better on the road, and you can focus more on the road. And if he throws a couple at Garrett Wilson's feet, or he tries to do too much and throws one of those many balls up for grabs like he's done in the losses to New England, he's going to hear it. And then we'll find out if he's cut out for New York, because he's going to hear it from Jets fans. It's going to be loud. Certainly if the Lions come in, of all teams that could beat them, it's the Detroit Lions, which is who are playing terrifically. And we've talked about on the show how well they're playing. But when it comes to the New York fan base, these are still the Detroit Lions. I mean, like I'm looking at my notes for the Browns and the Ravens game. And here it is. I just passed off on this note. The Browns, if they lose on Saturday or any of their remaining games, would have a 21st season since returning to action in Cleveland with a losing record, 21. And the team that's right below them on that list are the Detroit Lions. So it doesn't matter how well they're playing. The Lions are a franchise that's supposed to be, in the Jets' mind's eye, even worse than the Jets, and in dire straits more than the Jets. If they come into this building and mop the floor with a Jets defense that might be without Quinnen Williams here, and Zach Wilson can't perform well, he's going to hear it. And it could be particularly ugly for him if he can't handle it.
Hey, Rich, more importantly, are you worried that you're becoming the kiss of death when it comes to takes? Because, a few weeks ago, you were so, boisterous about saying you never wanted to see Zach play quarterback again for the Jets. And here we are.
Nope.
And now he's starting. So are you worried that you're,
typical of you, Chris, to not only be, first of all, what a glass house the cooler of the Rich Eisen show is throwing a stone from right now, okay?
My teams have won a lot, so I'm just,
Well, with you physically being there and sitting there?
I was there in 2018 when the Red Sox won, so that ended the cooler talk. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, very good. Look, but you misconstrued what I said. It's not to say I don't want to see him start.
I mean, I can go back and look at the video.
I said I don't care if he doesn't start another game for them. Okay, there's a difference in that. The fact that I'm done with him and I don't want to see him anymore, I said I don't care if he doesn't start another game for the Jets because I liked what I saw in Mike White. He found, he found a Wilson on the field. To the point where we were talking the other day because Coop asked if Brock Purdy could be Rookie of the Year offensively, and we're like, well, Garrett Wilson is currently the front runner for that. That's not Zach Wilson finding him. It's Mike White finding him. Elijah Moore, we needed in terms of proof of life when Zach was a quarterback. He had to hold up a newspaper to see what day it was to make sure that he was still alive. Okay? So Mike White has shown how it can be done. And so I said at the time, I don't care if Zach doesn't start another game for him. He now is starting another game for him.
Oh, okay.
And so be it.
Are you pacing right now? Are you walking across the...
I am pacing right now. Yes. I got up from the chair. I was calmly sitting in my chair talking about Brock Purdy. Yep. This got me out of my chair. I am, in fact, pacing now.
Honey, do me a favor. Take a moment. Compose yourself. And talk to us in your New York voice and address this to Zach Wilson for what you're hoping to see this weekend, please. Give us a little, just direct to Zach.
Yeah,
it's just you and Zach. There's nobody else watching.
It's 1998. Yeah. It's 2 a.m. You're driving home to your apartment in New York City. And you're like, hey, I'm going to call into the fan. And then let it rip.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
This is Dickie Eyes from Staten Island,
Hey,
first time, long time. Let's go to Richie on cell phone.
Okay, here we go.
Richie, you're on.
I've got to comport myself. Long time listener, first time caller. It's Rich from Staten Island calling. Listen. Zach Wilson has got to get his head out of that spot where his sun doesn't shine.
Hey.
Because now's the time to show that he doesn't have this thin skin from Utah. Okay, you're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. It's time to get out there and show everybody how you can play ball. Because otherwise, get out. I don't want to hear from you anymore. It's time for even Flacco. This team can win now. This guy couldn't do it before. Of course Mike White is going to get sawed in half. Forget it. It's time for Zach to do it. Otherwise, get out of here.
How's that?
Nice.
Well, Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think if he had had that accent when we met, we'd have three kids now? That's my question.
You probably have six.
That was rough.
Hey!
Huh?
You probably have six.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you, you know, when I first started doing TV, I would say tournament.
I would say tournament.
NCAA tournament. Like when I was up in Redding, California, that's how I would say, let's go to the NCAA tournament, to the point where I had to sit down and write the word tour on my script, T-O-U-R, and just underline it. So I started to say turn, T-U-R-N, is when I started scripting it, T-U-R-N-ament, you know, because I'm a professional. I'm still pacing.
I understand. Hey, Rich, relax. Hey, because we do have latest news from Dallas. Have you seen the stuff from Dallas this morning?
Nope.
Oh, baby. It looks like Odell Beckham is going to the Star.
Ooh.
Jerry Jones, last night to USA Today. Odell is going to join us. There's a good chance he will, with the complete goal of getting ready for a playoff game or two. And then I'll look at the future, but mostly of it being about now.
He has wanted Odell Beckham Jr. He has been focused on Odell Beckham Jr., Rich.
Why wouldn't he?
Woo, woo, woo.
Why wouldn't he? I love it. I love it.
Woo, woo,
I think
woo.
Odell is in. This makes him even more must-see television. Hey, then you want to just, I mean, so they're going to really throw him in the mix in a playoff game for the first time? Is that really what they're going to do?
In Tampa?
He's a Super Bowl-winning professional, lead pipe-wielding professional, Rich, okay?
That is true. He would have been, I mean, we saw it with our own two eyes. He would have been the Super Bowl MVP last year if he didn't somehow hurt himself again.
But as Hoskins just told me, it's not official yet.
But don't you think that Jerry Jones is so irritated that everyone's talking about Brock Purdy and everyone's talking about the Eagles? He does not like it when people aren't talking about them Cowboys.
That is correct. Everybody talking about them. But, I think there's more to it, as I think we all agree, than a PR move. I mean, if the guy is the same Odell Beckham and can do that, you know what? How he can just flip a field and create problems, and that just will only open the door more for a running game. And you want to talk about, again, if he is as healthy as before, one of the top playmakers in the NFL when he's healthy. And you know how I feel about Tony Pollard. That gives them two home run hitters, two, where they could just take the ball and see you later. But again, getting people up to speed is one thing. Getting them up to speed in a winner go home game, I don't know, man. I don't see that. But hopefully the now means they do get him out there. I would love to see him in like week 17 or 18, just knock the rust off, and then what would that make them? The guaranteed Saturday night game, right?
Mm-hmm.
For wild card weekend?
1,000%, especially if it's Tom Brady. Like, come on.
No doubt.
Yeah, Brady hosting Odell and the Cowboys would be that woo, would woo, break woo. That would break television. That would be so. Congrats, TJ, on that in advance. Congrats in advance.
You know, Rich, I'm wearing a T-shirt now because the new Irv was coming on, and I have all the great 88s on it. You know, we got Drew and Michael and Dez and CD. You know, and maybe I'll find a way down here to put OBJ somewhere.
All right, we're gonna go to break, Rich. We're gonna have you back in the 11 o'clock hour to preview your game and. We got a little bit
of
what's more likely. But stop pacing. Sit down. Okay. Relax. Take a load off.
Chill.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
See you, buddy.
A lot more Rich Eisen Show when we come back. 844-204-RICH. What's your favorite Christmas movie? I want to know.
You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone? Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. Audible has everything you love listening to and more. It's the home of storytelling. There's no better place to find all the stories your imagination craves, like the hottest new releases of the year. Audiobooks, exclusive originals, and popular podcasts, including The Rich Eisen Show, they're all on Audible. Whatever you're in the mood for, Audible has an incredible selection of audio entertainment for you to choose from. Maybe you want to get the real story behind your favorite team's winning streak. Maybe you want to hear celebrities talk about their lives and careers. Or maybe you could use some pro hacks on how to better your business, better your relationships, or just get better sleep. And there's knockout performances from your A-list entertainers and comedians, too. The best part is you get to have it all, because with Audible, there are thousands of included titles that you can listen to all you want, and more get added every single week. So come to the home of storytelling and try it for free for 30 days. You can sign up right now at audible.com.
Oh, I'm back on the air. I'm just finishing mimosa.
Your cup is empty. I don't like that.
Wait. Are we on the air?
Oh,
hello?
We're back.
Anybody out there? I mean,
we're going to have to do something about that soon.
You know, I have to say that George Kittle saying that tequila is his natural libation. Mm. Yes, it is. Of course it is. It's a vegetable. It's actually made of a vegetable, right?
I think
it's agave, everybody. I mean, I don't understand. Like, Rich will not even smell my tequila if I drink it. Like, he doesn't like tequila at all.
Me neither.
I keep trying to tell him it's clean. There's no hangover. I'm also, let's face it, a control freak. So I'm a one drink alcoholic. I don't have more than one because, you know, I'm me.
Except for today.
The thing is, like, you're both
I'm done.
You're
done.
Both control freaks, which is kind of weird. Like, how does that operate?
Yeah.
Not so well. you know how it operates?
You get your way?
I'm controlling. That said, this is a really good mimosa today. You did a beautiful pour.
Thank
I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. I poured it with love, you know.
You really did.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for that.
Even Brockman, support with love.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. I like that the phone lines are opening up and lighting up. Thank you very much, guys. I love the calls. This is my Christmas present. This is my Hanukkah gift from you to me. Somebody's waiting, and I have to put my glasses on because I'm 50. And I'm 50.
Stretching.
Matt in Tennessee, we are going to get to you or can we take him now? Because he's saying, any story about Rich in which he's failed in something but not too embarrassing.
Wow.
Hey, Matt, you there?
Yeah. Hi, how are you doing?
How are you, Matt?
I'm pretty good. Trying to enjoy the day. I got a long weekend.
Oh, you got a lot ahead of you?
Yeah, I do. But I at least get to enjoy the day listening to you guys.
Yeah, well, that's what's up.
We're thrilled. Thanks for joining us today.
Have a mimosa.
That just made me feel happy.
What I was asking about, TJ. we're coming New Year's. But what I was going to ask about with Rich is, what is something that Rich has failed at that you can tell that ain't too embarrassing for him, that you've seen him like try, and it's just like, oh, please don't, please don't.
I got you, Matt. Ready? I got you this in 60 seconds. So when Rich and I were first dating, I'm a big skier, right? I love mountains. I love snow. I love skiing. Rich was trying to be a good sport. He's like, okay, I'll meet you in Colorado, because I was doing the Lakers broadcast. I was in Fox. He was at ESPN. We used to meet in the middle of the country. He said, okay, I'll meet you there. I said, have you skied? He goes, yeah, I've skied. So he goes to call to make an appointment for a ski lesson. They said, Rich Eisen from SportsCenter. He's like, I'm not going. They're going to make fun of me. I said, oh, it'll be fine. I'll take you. We go to the top of the mountain. Happened to have snowed the night before. Beautiful powder everywhere. We take Easy Rider the whole way down. It circles the mountain. It was 3 yards and a cloud of dust, Matt. Boom, 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 and he's just falling, and I hear him, God, and he's swearing, and it's a nightmare, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and he's trying to be strong, and he finally gets to me, and I go to give him a kiss to say, like, great job, honey, and I started laughing, snotted all over his face. Merry Christmas, Matt.
Thank you.
That's from me to you. Lots more Rich Eisen Show when we come back.
Because
Roku people, I got to tell you, awesome. I wanted to be there for him. I wanted to be this, like, you know, warm, great girlfriend. We were just boyfriend and girlfriend then, after 3 years of being friends. And he, there he was, like, such a good guy. What?
3 years you made my man wait?
3 years.
Wow.
Yep. Our kids are miracles. Yep. And so, what a great boyfriend he was. He wasn't a skier. He actually loves to opera ski. He is Mr. Opera. He loves, like, a heavy sweater and a fireplace and a wine at 10 in the morning and, you know, opera. That's what he's all about. Yeah. He was a really good sport. So I snot all over his face. It's really gross. Really warm moment. And I just, we came down. He's like, I'm done. So we spend the whole day. I'm done. He goes back to the room. I ski all afternoon and I am psyched. And I'm like, I'm feeling like I'm feeling good about myself. I'm walking back. My skis are on my shoulder. I get to the room, and there he is with a strawberry smoothie, and he is spotted up. He has hit the spa hard, and so I may have called him Spa Boy for a while, but that's neither here nor there. But Matt, thank you so much for calling in and asking about that, because who am I not to share embarrassing moments for Rich Eisen on his very own show?
Agreed.
He's not here. He's in Ohio. Man.
He knew what he was getting into when he married me. I'm just saying. I mean, so much more Rich Eisen show ahead. Marshall Faulk is going to call in from an airport. It's going to be kind of a little sketchy. Michael Irvin ahead as well, too, and more Rich Eisen when we come back.
You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone? Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.